Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Wonder Woman number 168, cover date February 1967, cover price 12 cents, cover artist Ross Andrew and Mike Esposito, edited by Robert Kaniger, featuring Three Hands on the Magic Lasso, written by Robert Kaniger, art by Ross Andrew and Mike Esposito, and Never in a Million Years, written by Robert Kaniger, art by Ross Andrew, and Mike Esposito. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go-go!
See how the fluffy clouds move by us.
See how the clouds move by.
Can hide us away.
Hide us away. And now is so much fun.
Whoa. A millionaire known only as the Collector offers to buy Wonder Woman's magic lasso. When she refuses the offer, the Collector hires Giganta, Dr. Psycho, and Paula von Gunta to steal the lasso for him. Meanwhile, Wonder Woman is called back to Paradise Island when another pilot is found just like Steve Trevor was years earlier. This time, an Amazon named Cena cares for the injured pilot and falls in love with him. But when the pilot sees Wonder Woman, he becomes infatuated with her, and the jealous Cena challenges Wonder Woman to a duel. Confused? Don't worry. I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
I'm casting my lasso way up toward the sky, hoping my loop lands on a star. I'm casting my lasso way up there on high, hoping it reaches that far. I'm going to keep on trying to find my rainbow's end. I know it's somewhere hiding just around the bend. Someday I'll be riding that new range by and by. I'm casting my lasso toward the sky.
Well, I can't figure out what we're going to do with this day.
I can't either. I really wanted to mow the grass, but it's going to pour down rain.
I know. I want to get it done, actually. I want it because it's quite high out there.
It's very high.
Yes.
I should have helped you when you wanted to do it the other day, but we had company.
Boy, didn't we have fun this weekend?
We sure did.
We had a dear friend stay with us from out of town, from where we used to work,
mm-hmm.
and we've remained in close contact with her, and we just hosted our friend and did some wonderful little trips, sightseeing, and saw a movie, and cooked and had a lovely, lovely time.
Boy, that movie was awful.
Wasn't it awful?
We saw The Shrouds by David Cronenberg.
Yes.
And not great.
Not worth it.
No.
Really bad. Really quite
terrible.
Bad. Yes.
I know he's got quite a reputation, but come on.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
And I wish our friend could have stayed to podcast with us. We really could have used a woman's perspective.
Yes, absolutely.
On this issue of Wonder Woman.
Yes, it would have been helpful to have had her here.
Although I don't know why, because there's clearly no woman had any input whatsoever.
Well, our friend is not only an expert in ancient world literature,
yes.
Or world literature, you know, especially Greek, myths and
mm-hmm,
such.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also very funny.
Yes.
And very much a feminist and would have had a delightful time. So in the spirit of that, we will try to represent our friend's perspective.
We sure will. What else is going on? Anything new?
Gosh, I don't know. I'm filming this week.
That's right.
Yes.
You're a film star.
I am in a film.
Well, yes, you're not the star.
No, but and it's a freshman film project for the son of some dear friends of ours, and he needed an adult to play, of all things,
an adult
professor. So yes, I am filming this week, and looking forward to that. Project will be finishing this weekend sometime.
You say freshman, but it can't be worse than David Cronenberg.
True, because there's no excuse for what David turned out.
No.
Yeah.
He should know better.
Mm-hmm. What else is going on? Just playing music, you know, and gosh, I can't think of really anything else I have planned this week. That filming's going to take up some
time. I'm still on the job hunt.
Indeed, you are.
If anyone knows anything or needs someone that can name all of the pre-crisis members of the Justice League in order of joining by memory.
Well, couldn't you be an editor? You are an editor right now.
I am an editor. Well, I was until last Thursday when...
Thanks, Doge.
Doge.
Yeah.
Kicked me to the curb.
Yes.
Along with so many of our friends.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fine. We're fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. So, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, number 168, February 1967. Wonder Woman is forced into a fantastic battle she never wanted.
Never in a million years. She's on the cover fighting another woman.
Yes.
In armor, one can assume that this is an Amazon.
Yes.
But they're fighting on kangaroos.
Those are Kangas, which are native to Paradise Island.
Oh. They're not kangaroos.
No, they are Kangas. It's a different species.
Okay.
I'm not even sure they're marsupial. I'm not sure they have pouches.
Mm.
They are a special kind of animal.
Obviously.
Native to Paradise Island.
But we'll get to that story after the first story.
Look at this. Electronic computer brain. Educational, fun at parties, solves riddles, even tells fortunes.
Mm.
Only $4.99. It adds, subtracts, multiplies, and memorizes.
Go figure.
You can train it to do your bidding. And you get a 30-day free trial. And a money-back guarantee. Just write to Royal Advertising Corp, Lynbrook, New York. Department 86RC26. And good luck.
Good luck.
Wonder Woman. Beautiful as Aphrodite, wise as Athena, stronger than Hercules, and swifter than Mercury, has had many attempts made to steal her magic lasso, unique in all the world, but now she faces three adversaries at once, and none more diabolical and determined than the three hands on the magic lasso. I thought that... I can't remember the origin of the magic lasso. I think Aphrodite gave it to her.
Okay.
Or Athena.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, it compels anyone to tell the truth.
And Wonder Woman is its steward.
Yes.
Yes.
It was one of the gifts bestowed on her when she set off for man's world all those years ago.
All those years ago.
But now, at Holiday College... Wonder Woman is giving a benefit performance with her magic lasso for the scholarship fund. And who's the MC? Steve Trevor. She's using the magic lasso to hold herself up in the air, a stunt only she can perform. Does this enrage you as much as the Flash's tornado arms?
No, I've decided to give up on the Flash's tornado arms. It's fruitless. This enrage. This rage that I carry for the arms rotating at that speed, it's useless. I have other things to do in my life.
She, as her ending trick, she tosses the lasso into the audience and lassos up four sorority girls. There's no sign of Etta Candy, who's the most famous student of Holiday College and Wonder Woman's close confidant.
Okay.
Of course, that was in the Golden Age, so we don't know if that's
continuing
now in the 60s. But these girls are probably members of the Beta Lambda sorority.
Beta Lambda?
No, it's Beta. It's two E's, B-E-E-T-A.
Oh, okay.
And Etta Candy was their president or something.
Okay, all right. So she's lassoed these women and lifted them up out of obscurity in the audience and then is now twirling them above the stage.
And demonstrating how she can make them obey her just by circling them with the lasso. After the performance, the collector, a multimillionaire, approaches the Amazon. We know he's a millionaire because he's wearing an ascot.
Yes, and he's dressed in clothing that only wealthy people wear.
Yes. He reports that he has a collection of famous women's trophies, which is not complete without Wonder Woman's lasso. He already has Helen of Troy's mirror and Cleopatra's crown. And he's offering 50,000 smackaroos for Wonder Woman's lasso.
Yes.
But it's not hers to give away, is it? Mm-mm. She's sworn to let no one else have it because it could be used harmfully by its owner.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The collector leaves, and Steve makes his move. When are you going to marry me? Shut up, Steve.
When I'm no longer needed to fight crime and injustice. Well, that will never happen.
No. I mean, I don't know why she couldn't just marry him and then continue on her crime-fighting career, but...
Right. He seems to do just fine now when they're dating.
Right.
Well, not dating. They just hang out a lot.
Yeah. No, they did go on a date last issue.
Did they?
Didn't they? They had a picnic, I think.
You know, I don't remember anything about the
comics. I know. Meanwhile, the collector stalks off and he's thinking to himself, little does she know, but she's not going to have that lasso for long. I'm going to have it, quote, collected by some very special villains. Oh, I wonder who it'll be.
Well, turn the page and we'll find out. Because look. Shortly at the collector's estate, he has summoned three people.
Yes.
Giganta, Dr. Psycho, and Paula von Gunther. They all hate Wonder Woman, and he wants to give them a chance to get their revenge on her by stealing her magic lasso. $100,000 to the one who's successful.
Wow. Now, Paula, I seem to recall, had reformed and moved to Paradise Island and was the chief scientist.
Okay.
But that doesn't seem to be the case here.
Mm.
Maybe that was the Earth 2, Paula von Gunther. Mm. Dr. Psycho is a short person, little person, terribly misshapen and ugly. And Giganta is not the Giganta you may know, Rob, from the Super Friends. She does not grow to giant size. She is, in fact, the brain. She has the brain of a gorilla in a human woman body.
Oh.
Or it's a gorilla that's been transformed into a woman, something like that.
So it's definitely not on all human or something. She
correct.
She's like a hybrid.
She's like a, I believe she's a transformed gorilla.
Okay. A transformed gorilla. Wow.
The three villains leave. Collector doesn't care who gets it, as long as somebody does.
Mm-hmm.
Soon after, Giganta finds Diana Prince's address in the phone book, because everyone knows that Diana Prince is a close friend of Wonder Woman, and she rips the phone book in half, just like Jamie Summers did in the first episode of The Bionic Woman, when she's trying to intimidate the school children in her charge.
Now, does Jamie Summers have two bionic arms?
Nope, or one? Just one.
You can't rip a phone book in half with one super arm and one plain arm.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. She did it. It's on DVD. We can watch it later.
So it's true.
It's absolutely true.
Okay.
Giganta shows up at Diana Prince's apartment looking for Wonder Woman. And Diana says, I think she's sunning herself on the roof. Let me get her. So she speeds up to the roof, changes to Wonder Woman, lays down on her chaise, and closes her eyes.
As if she is indeed sunning herself.
Yes.
In her onesie.
Mm-hmm.
And boots.
Yes. I still remember a very memorable panel from the 70s where Wonder Woman is washing her costume in her apartment's laundry facility. And it is indeed just one piece. And apparently made of fabric because she can wash it.
Well, of course, she has to wear it all the time, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Giganta sees that Wonder Woman has her eyes closed and she makes a reach for that lasso.
Mm-hmm.
But Wonder Woman shoots up. Giganta, you're after my lasso.
And then Giganta goes on the attack.
Yep. Smacks her.
Wonder Woman, then lifts her up in the air and then starts spinning her around and around like, I don't know, like a seal would do a ball, I suppose.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But the ingenious Wonder Woman wrenches herself free and turns herself into a human propeller and kicks Giganta in the face.
And then puts her lasso around her, lassos her, compels her to obey, and the police come and take her away.
Yes.
That was pretty quick.
Well, yes, but meanwhile, Dr. Psycho has observed the whole thing and observes the Gorilla Girl's arrest with glee. And he knows that she failed because she relied too much on brute force.
Instead, he needs to appeal to Wonder Woman's virtue.
Her womanly virtue. Shortly, the Amazon is startled by Dr. Psycho, who's looking sad. It's my hopeless love for you, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Go ahead, laugh. Laugh with the rest of the world.
And unfortunately, Wonder Woman's heart is touched by this soulful declaration from Dr. Psycho.
Yes. She's not laughing. She thinks what Dr. Psycho said is very sweet.
But what about his villainy?
It's only because I feel my case is hopeless. Why, I'd reform in a minute if I thought I had a chance with you.
Well, the Amazon's womanly feelings are stirred. Merciful Minerva, I can't let this change, this chance to slip away of helping Dr. Psycho reform. Nothing is impossible, Dr. Psycho. Let's talk more about him.
Let's. What is this little text page here? New Year superstitions.
Did you read that too?
I didn't. I did. I'm reading it now for the very first time.
Oh my gosh. So, our practice of greeting the new year to noisy accompaniment of pots, pans, horns, and drums originated with the savages, who always used noise as an expression of expressive means of celebration. Okay, well.
Well, savages, let's just say all native peoples of, I don't know.
Indigenous peoples.
Indigenous peoples of
geographic regions,
yes,
use drums as a form of communication, as a form of celebration, as a form of dance. I mean, to accompany dance, it wasn't just that you use it only as a means of celebration.
Right.
So it makes sense that, you know, I suppose if they should have said it has its roots in that.
Yes.
The custom of ringing bells upon the arrival of the new year originally meant the death knell of the parting year. Interesting. Mm-hmm. They were told to drive away evil spirits.
Anglo-Saxons were apprehensive and curious about what the new year would bring. Accordingly, they would climb to the roof on New Year's Eve to see what the forthcoming year had in store for them.
Remnants of this practice exist today when crowds gather around Times Square in New York to usher in the new year.
That's a stretch.
I agree.
Years ago, the superstitious housewife would clean the chimney on New Year's Day to allow good luck to descend into the house and remain all year.
Mm.
Well, it is good luck to clean your chimney because then your chimney won't catch on fire and kill you in the night.
True. Yeah, well, there you go. Well, remember, this is a February issue, so this is coming out in January, right?
Yes, this would have been on sale probably in December, January.
Which is why there's the
New Year's text piece.
New Year's text piece, yep.
A strange courtship begins as Wonder Woman and Dr. Psycho see each other for two different reasons. Look at her leading him on, holding his hand, walking through the park.
He says, if you're not leading me on, Wonder Woman, may I hold your hand as we walk? She goes, of course, Dr. Psycho.
Of course. The touch of her hand is almost making him forget the lasso.
And she says, he looks so contented beside me as if he really is reforming just because I'm being friendly with him. Don't trust him, Wonder Woman.
No. Now they come to the dance hall, and he asks her to accompany him inside and dance with him, just so my friends can see and I'm not lying about you and me.
So, of course, she agrees.
Of course.
And then they go inside, and she muses to herself, Dr. Psycho acts every bit the reformed person, and it's costing nothing but my goodwill. I'm so happy I'm turning him away from a life of villainy. I could cry for joy. Well,
now you remember our days in the Maryland Opera Studio program and how we learned historic dance.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 1920s, they had all kinds of dances named after animals like the bear and the wolf.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they're doing the bear.
They're
just stomping on the ground.
It does look like that, but that's not what they're doing. They're doing the Batusi.
That's accurate, because we read that on the next page.
Yes.
Do you know why they're doing the Batusi?
Because it was popular at this time on Batman, the television
series. Now, she's not doing the classic fingers around the eyes, mm-hmm. but she is doing what looks like the flapping of bat wings.
Yes.
Now, I don't know who these gentlemen are sitting at the table watching them, but they don't like the Batusi.
They look like Chicago-style, big city-style gangsters. Yeah. Yes.
Now, there's another guest at Dance Mania. What's the place
Steve
called?
Trevor.
Dance City. Steve Trevor.
Yeah. We used to go to Skate City, didn't we?
I didn't.
Yep.
I did have a pair of roller skates, though, that were blue and yellow. Blue shoes.
With yellow stripes?
With those yellow plastic. What was the plastic called? Acetylene?
Wheels?
No, the name of the plastic that they were made of, like Bakelite or something.
I don't know. Would you put them over your shoes?
No, they were one and done.
Huh. I had blue roller skates with soft vinyl, wheels that were... they weren't like... Okay, like back when you and I were young... You could get roller skates with metal wheels.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
You'd affix to the bottom.
And it was horrible, especially on the pavement, because when you would skate with the metal wheels, they go...
Yeah.
And you could never go anywhere. So I had the other kind, which were rubberized wheels or whatever. They weren't like hard plastic. I guess they were plastic. Plastic wheels?
It's like what skateboard...
Yes, skateboard wheels. Yeah. Basically. Yeah, so... and they weren't hot pink. They were just like in the pink rose colored family. That was,
I bet you were popular on the street.
Anyway, I had blue skates with little white stripes, like tennis shoe stripes on them.
That's really cool. What I had.
Yeah, yeah. I loved those. We lived in Miami, and we lived in an apartment complex. And inside the apartment complex, they had sidewalks, and the sidewalks were polished. Like, not like the sidewalks you see now on the street where they have... they're not ground down smooth. Mm-hmm. These were interior sidewalks. So when you skated on them, you met very, very little resistance.
Lucky.
And so you could fly around on those skates. It was nice to do that. It was fun to do that.
Was it like a little atrium? I'm trying to picture it in my head.
No, just think any sort of generic apartment complex that had, just sidewalks, but it wasn't that rough finish that you see on sidewalks. The rough finish that you see on standard on sidewalks, where they just sort of do a quick grading across, mm-hmm. is to create a friction so that when you walk on a wet sidewalk, you don't slip and fall.
Right.
These sidewalks in between the buildings, interior, like so you have these entrances, mm-hmm. and they were open breezeways, were smoother so that you didn't have that resistance against the wheel, so you could really go quite far and fast.
Anybody ever wipe out?
I don't remember. I was very young. I mean, I can imagine what it was like as an adult living there with all the children. There were hordes of children. And we were always in the parking lot with our bicycles and our roller skates.
Ugh, yuck.
Just, yes.
I'm glad I missed it.
Well, we were poor, so we lived in Hialeah. So mm-hmm. I can imagine there were those heavy concentrations of lower middle class families living in apartments. Yeah.
Speaking of low...
Well, most of my friends, actually, were Hispanic.
Yes.
That's how I started learning to speak Spanish.
You learned it in school, didn't you?
In school, yes. We had bilingual education. I went through kindergarten and first grade in Miami, so we had bilingual education, but also Spanish was spoken all around our neighborhood. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, Doge is going to get rid of all that and the Department of Education, so won't be learning anything anymore.
Nothing useful, I suppose.
Now, Steve, speaking of not useful... has heard about Wonder Woman and Dr. Psycho dating. And he didn't believe it. He had to come to see it with his own eyes.
I guess word gets around pretty quickly. Didn't mm-hmm. you just meet up with Dr. Psycho and start talking with him that afternoon?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it said it had been a couple of weeks.
What?
I thought. Maybe I imagined that.
These things happen pretty quickly in the comics.
Now, Wonder Woman scolds Steve. You're seeing what a little bit of friendship can do, Steve. It's causing Dr. Psycho to reform, isn't it, Dr. Psycho? Tell the truth to Colonel Trevor so he won't misunderstand about us. Mm. Well, the jig's up. Dr. Psycho now knows it was all a trick. Like all other women. Always taking advantage of a man when he's weak. Well, I'm not weak. I'm just an incel.
He confesses, enraged. This is what I was after all the time. You're a lasso, and nothing is going to stop me from getting it.
Well, Steve is.
because he grabs Dr. Psycho by the forehead,
by the face. It just holds him still.
And shoves him away. And Wonder Woman, how could you, Dr. Psycho? How could you after all the faith I had in you about reforming?
Well, this is about to get pretty violent because mm-hmm. the gangsters stand up and yep. say, all right, gang, stop Wonder Woman.
A pleasure. Yeah, I've been waiting for a chance to get at that Amazon ever since she stepped in here.
While Steve fights like a fury, he's going to punch and bop and biff these gangsters till they're all gone.
Bip and punch
gone.
And bop. Hmm? Bip and punch and bop.
Well, they overcome Steve. Luckily, Wonder Woman is not overcome, and she knocks them away from Steve, and then they start firing guns right there inside the club.
Hola. Bullets and bracelets.
Bullets and bracelets. Her fantastic skill results in... She's so skilled, she bounces the bullets back to the criminals and knocks the guns out of their hands.
She's quite good at this.
Then with one flip of the magic lasso, she encircles Dr. Psycho.
I'm assuming she's saying hola, not hola. It's spelled the same way.
It's spelled the same way. But yes, this would be a Greek-derived yeah. term, okay. I would imagine.
Like hui.
Is that Greek?
Hui? No, I mean, I'm thinking that's what this is. Yeah.
So he's encircled by the magic lasso. He's compelled to answer truthfully and also compelled to obey her as he gets into the back of the paddy wagon with his men. Now, Wonder Woman was hoping Dr. Psycho really had reformed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think this lasso would also cause me sadness. I hope that's the last attempt against me. Well, it isn't.
Yeah.
Because not long after, she's back in the park, and there's a woman with a baby.
With a baby. With a baby.
Would you mind holding my baby while I fetch out a bottle for him, Wonder Woman?
Not at all, my good woman.
But while Wonder Woman holds the baby, the baby's trying to grab the magic lasso. It's not a baby at all. It's a grown man.
It's what, unfortunately, they refer to as a midget.
Yes.
That little person. Wouldn't Wonder Woman see with her eyes, with her eye things, that the baby has an adult face?
You would think.
Yeah.
An ugly adult face, mm-hmm. we might add. The baby grabs a lasso, tosses it to the woman, who it turns out is Paula von Gunta.
Mm-hmm.
And she encircles Wonder Woman with the lasso and commands her to pick them up and run to the home of the collector. Not running very fast, apparently, because Paula has the wherewithal to smoke a long cigarette in a holder.
Well, she's never... That's a very important prop for her.
Yes. They arrive at the home of the collector. And the collector is delighted. When I add Wonder Woman's lasso to Helen of Troy's mirror and Cleopatra's crown, my collection will be complete.
And Paula says, Paula von Gunther says, my collection will be complete when you pay me not 100, but 500,000, collector. I've upped the price, and my gang's here to help me collect. After all, I've also brought you Wonder Woman to deliver her lasso in person.
That's true. As long as you hold it, I'm powerless to disobey.
Roar.
But look at... Wonder Woman looks pretty relaxed. She's got her elbow up on the mantle.
Yeah, she's just leaning back, just chilling out. Maybe that's because she's about to do something very tricksy.
She is.
He says, it's cheaper to half the price. I don't mind as long as I have the lasso. But the ingenious Wonder Woman's eyes light on the glittering mirror of Helen of Troy and reflect the sun's rays right in the eyes of Paula von Gunther.
Yes. Paula drops the lasso. These criminals start firing guns, and she does the same trick. Bullets and bracelets.
Hola.
And knocks the guns right out their hands.
Hi, kitty.
And for the last time, Wonder Woman uses her lasso to encircle all of these crooks, including the collector, and collects them all off to the paddy wagon.
Right. So what's the crime that all these people have committed? Attempted robbery. Attempted robbery.
Yeah.
So I wonder how much time they'll get for that.
Oh, I don't know. Probably just overnight. Somebody will bail them out.
Now, Paula says it was a wonderful idea, only it went wrong.
Crime always does.
Crime always goes wrong, Paula. If only Steve was here. Now, the meat. We come to the cover story.
Do you mind if I unwrap a candy?
No, go right ahead. What kind of candy do you have there?
Sugar-free Jolly Ranchers.
You love those sugar-free Jolly Ranchers.
I do indeed.
Just don't crunch it in the microphone.
I'm trying to be very careful.
Okay. Beautiful as Aphrodite, wise as Athena, stronger than Hercules, and swifter than Mercury. Stronger than Hercules.
Stronger?
I didn't notice that before.
Me neither.
Wonder Woman needs all her gifts to even defend herself. What?
I just turned to the first page of this comic. Wonder Woman, beautiful as Aphrodite, wise as Athena, stronger than Hercules, and swifter than Mercury.
You know, that's interesting.
I don't recall Hercules being in that descriptor.
But it's interesting that from a feminist perspective, that she's not wiser than Athena, and she's not more beautiful than Aphrodite, but she is stronger than Hercules and swifter than Mercury. She's better than the men,
indeed,
but equal with the women.
Well, kudos, retroactive kudos for the authors of this comic for at least giving her that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't often give kudos to Robert Kanigher.
God, no. The sexist pigs.
How she manages in this startling tale will thrill you as never before as you learn more of the secret lore of the Amazons in...
Never in a million years. I was just thinking about... I call them sexy space. That's just really not fair. It's easy for me to say that, you know, 65 years into the future, it was a different time then, indeed, right?
Yes. Yes. Well, it's not quite 65 years because...
60 years. Not yeah. 60. 59 well, to 60 years.
Let's say 57.
All right.
Because I'm the same age as this comic and I don't...
Oh, that's right, right. Okay,
I'm sorry. ...claim to be 60.
But I just want to say, you know, we often talk about how a lot of these tropes in here are racist and sexist and
yes,
such.
And yes, yes.
Of course, we are always viewing that through a contemporary and enlightened perspective.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
but it's not. I don't think it's appropriate or fair for me to call these guys racist pigs or sexist pigs, you know, because only because it's viewed in the different perspective now.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Sure. Now, Colonel Steve Trevor is unaware that Captain Diana Prince is really Wonder Woman in her secret identity, and he's chatting with her in her office, reminiscing about the time that he met Wonder Woman when he had crashed his plane in the ocean, and Princess Diana of Paradise Island spotted him, first man she's ever seen in her whole life, and rescues him.
Mm-hmm.
As she's dragging him to shore, she recalls that it's forbidden for any man to set foot on Paradise Island, secret home of the Amazons, by Aphrodite's law. She's the patron goddess of the Amazons.
Mm-hmm.
So she takes him to a cave that she's discovered on a small island nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
canon?
Yeah.
Okay, that's really what she did?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know about the cave part.
That's because I thought she brought him onto the island.
She brought him onto the island.
This is the first time that I heard about him. She doesn't take him onto the island.
Well, she carried him because so that his feet wouldn't touch the ground.
Oh, okay.
She nurses him back to health, falls in love at first sight, wins the competition to decide who was going to return to man's world with Steve, and off they fly in her invisible jet.
By the way, it's raining. I'm glad I'm not out there right now cutting the grass.
Me too.
We had decided to just not try it. And
right.
I would have been out there probably in the front yard right now getting poured on.
I'm so glad. Yeah, me too. Could have caught cold. Who knows what might have happened.
It just would have been a damned inconvenience. I would have been wet.
Yes.
And filthy. And
yes.
Smelled of fresh cut grass and gasoline and absolutely soaking wet.
And you'd be a grouch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's really coming down.
It is.
I'm sorry we don't have noise-canceling insulation in this room.
Perhaps we will invest in some panels someday.
Sure, someday. Now, Steve says this kind of a meeting of sweethearts could never happen again in a million years.
It seems, it hardly seems likely, Steve.
No sooner has Steve left than Diana gets a call from Queen Hippolyta.
Queen Hippolyta calling Wonder Woman. Queen Hippolyta calling Wonder Woman.
As we know, Queen Hippolyta is Wonder Woman's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman, as you probably know, Rob, was molded out of clay and brought to life by Aphrodite.
Mm-hmm.
The only child thus born on Paradise Island.
True.
Please fly to Paradise Island at once. It's an emergency. I'll tell you all about it when I see you.
I'll leave right away, Mother.
The Amazon makes a lightning change into her dual identity of Wonder Woman.
Calls her robot plane.
Robot plane. Calling robot plane.
Plane, head due east at top speed. It takes the plane only moments to reach Paradise Island.
There's Mother waiting outside on her palace to greet me. I wonder what the emergency is. Everything seems peaceful and quiet on Paradise Island.
Now, are you ready for a surprise?
I am. Although I have read this.
I didn't think it could happen again in a million years, daughter. Neither did Steve, mm-hmm. Mother. But Cena, one of my Amazons, discovered a pilot from a wrecked plane floating in the sea and is nursing him back to life on your little island where you did the same thing with Steve Trevor.
I'll go over and see her right away, Mother.
Well, Cena's not having anything to do with it.
No.
Wonder Woman, I hope you've not been sent by the Queen to try to dissuade me from going back to man's world with the man I love just as you did.
But I won the right to the competition, Cena. Otherwise, it is forbidden by Aphrodite herself for any Amazon to leave the island.
Now, this Cena gal jealously guards her patient as Wonder Woman tries to get a look at him. No, keep away. He's mine, all mine. I found him, and I'm going to make him well. He doesn't need anybody else but me.
As Cena removes the bandages from the pilot's eyes, fate steps in.
Yes, she removes the bandages. He opens his eyes, and the first thing he sees is
Wonder Woman.
A beautiful face, like an angel's, standing over there.
Tortured. The jealous Amazon flails away at Wonder Woman.
You worked some black magic on him, making him fall for you instead of me. This will teach you.
Thwack. Please, Cena, I can't help it if I'm more beautiful than you. I had nothing to do with it.
Says she muses to herself as she's walking away from the cave.
Cena is not responsible for her actions. I'll tell Mother.
Yes, she is. Don't take away her agency.
I'll tell Mother that. Jealousy has blinded her.
She's absolutely responsible for her actions.
Well, at the Queen's Palace.
Cena is head over heels in love with her patient, just as I was with Steve Trevor. Steve, Mother.
We've got to save her despite herself. If she leaves here, she will grow old immediately and die by Aphrodite's law. This is the first I've heard of this law of Aphrodite.
Yeah, what about Wonder Woman's sister? In the television series.
Drusilla. Mm-hmm. Well, that hasn't happened yet in chronologically. Mm-hmm. But yes, other Amazons, I seem to recall, have left the island.
Mm-hmm.
Amazons are immortal only on Paradise Island. Well, see, I can buy that she's not going to live forever mm-hmm. in man's world, but it's not, she's going to age immediately and turn into dust like the Nazis and Raiders of the Lost Ark,
that'd be awesome. Clayface, melting away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cena has gotten back to the island, and she rings the royal gong. Hear me, O Amazons. Wonder Woman has wronged me. I demand to meet her in single combat, as is my right under Amazon law.
Right.
Well, they have to.
Shortly after, the two female warriors face off on each other. Oh, God, Lord. Okay. Shortly, the two female warriors face each other on Kangas.
See? Kangas.
Hmm. They're kangaroos.
No, they're Kangas.
Okay.
You know, Cena, the last thing in the world that I want is to fight you. I'd have sooner cut off my arm.
For reasons
now, well known to her. Andy is the name of this injured soldier.
All Andy talks about is you. You have bewitched him. I'm going to make you pay for that.
Imbued by jealous rage, Cena seeks to batter Wonder Woman down from her mount as their swords clash.
Thunderbolts of Jove! Insane jealousy has made Cena 10 feet tall. Not really.
Not really, but very strong. Yes. Her madness makes her knock Wonder Woman out of the saddle of her Kanga.
The fight continues with Wonder Woman on foot and Cena on her Kanga.
Yes. Wonder Woman can't keep ducking blows like this. She'll have to try something else.
She grabs Cena by the sword.
Uh-huh.
And pulls her off her Kanga.
Pulls her off the Kanga. And they tie their wrists together like Michael Jackson in the Bad video.
Exactly. So that they will always be in close proximity to each other during their duel.
To ensure that they remain in close quarters. Face to face, the two duelists whirl their swords at each other. And Cena says, "You'll never be able to repay me for stealing the man I love away from me."
With an adroit blow, Wonder Woman disarms her opponent. "By Aphrodite's law, this part of the duel is over. Only one part remains. I choose bolts and bracelets."
Is that Cena?
That's Cena, yeah. In my mind, she's got a terrible, like, nasty high school senior voice.
Trashy. Like a Tanya Harding type.
Yes, because she's all jealous and stuff, you know.
And blonde, just like Tanya Harding.
And she's throwing away these traditions completely ignoring what she knows to be true about that if Amazons leave the island, they lose their mortality.
Age and die immediately.
They age and die. So, yes. So, the audience is hushed as the deadly game is about to be played.
Yes.
"Cena, I really, really wish you wouldn't go through with this."
"I want it this way. I'm going to avenge myself for your stealing the man I love away from me."
But they haven't gone anywhere. She hasn't stolen anything.
Oh, but he speaks nothing but Wonder Woman.
Well, that's not her fault.
Well,
you know how
Cena does not see it that way. She is blinded by jealousy.
You know, enraged by unmitigated gall of men.
Yes, men are stupid. So, with incredible aim, go ahead.
Wonder Woman starts firing a pistol at Cena.
At her bracelets.
Deflecting the bullets with her bracelets.
She's trying not to hit her.
Right, she's aiming directly at the bracelets.
Yes.
The bullets are bouncing back to Wonder Woman, who has to deflect them with her.
No, Cena has a gun in her hand. You see it in the next panel down. She's got it at the very upper right hand, so she's a gun too.
Okay.
Yeah, because Wonder Woman says, "I'll play bullets and bracelets until Cena uses up her bracelets."
Okay.
They're both firing at each other.
But one of the bullets that Wonder Woman fires at Cena's bracelets ricochets off and grazes Cena's helmet.
Ah!
Cena falls to the ground.
Wonder Woman says, "I'm so sorry, Cena. I did the best I could to keep the bullets away from you."
"I want no favors from you."
Then Queen Hippolyta, is that Queen Hippolyta?
Uh-huh.
Says, "By Aphrodite's law, I decree that the combat is over and the two contestants embrace as a sign of their good faith."
But Wonder Woman is rebuffed.
"Cena, I want to be friends with you. Cena, please.
You've caused me the greatest loss of my life. I want no part of you. Andy would have fallen in love with me if you hadn't been there when I removed his bandages."
Well, that evening, Wonder Woman once again tries to soothe Cena.
"It's for your own good, Cena, that I take Andy back to Man's World with me tonight."
I guess you're right, Wonder Woman. I was just insane with jealousy. I couldn't think.
But Wonder Woman's taken off guard. Cena grabs the lasso.
"Now I've got hold of your magic lasso. You've got to do what I say. Take us both to Man's World. I command you."
"By Aphrodite's law, I'm compelled to obey."
So Wonder Woman is forced to summon her robot plane.
Yes.
"You live happily on Man's World with Steve Trevor. I will do the same with Andy Green. Now fly us there."
"I must obey. But I wish you'd reconsider, Cena. You know what will happen."
Well, the robot plane flashes from the island with its strange cargo. And
Andy says finally,
"Cena, you can't dictate into love. I'm grateful to you, but all I see is Wonder Woman."
Now, nearing Man's World, a fantastic change overcomes Cena as in a few minutes an amazing transformation takes place. She is aging into a horrible old crone.
Like Ivana Trump.
Desperately, Wonder Woman reverses the direction of the plane.
She looks like Mitch McConnell there, actually, in the bottom of that page.
Only much prettier.
Much prettier.
Wonder Woman thinks a silent prayer to Aphrodite. Please take pity on this poor, lovesick girl and restore her to the way she was. Please.
Right, because what if she brought her back to Paradise Island and she just stayed stopped? Old. She stayed old, yeah. Yeah. Stopped the aging right there.
Terrible.
Yes. Oh, everybody, here's Mitch McConnell.
Luckily, Aphrodite hears her prayer. And Cena has learned her lesson. There's a difference between real love and love tainted by jealousy.
Thank you for bringing me back to my home. Oh, now her voice has changed because she's kind.
Uh-huh.
And as for you, Andy, I'll never forget you.
Who are you again?
bye.
The
end.
End.
Yeah.
But listen to this.
What?
Dear editor, first of all, I'd like to say that since you decided to fix the stories that have appeared in Wonder Woman, the book is better than ever. But I have a very strong complaint that I'd like you to consider. Spoiler alert, this is not from Irene Vartanoff. Please do not make Andrew and Esposito copy a style of art far below their ability as they have done. This is when they were trying to recreate the Golden Age.
Okay.
These men are far better than their predecessor and should be allowed to use their own style of drawing. Your idea of improving the book was in the right idea, but once you had a good storyline, what did you do? Ruin the art, that's all. The Wonder Woman of the 40s had miserable art. The Wonder Woman of the early 60s had excellent art. The reason, even though your artists have allowed themselves to copy a poor artist, their own ability still shows through.
Mm.
If you truly want to improve Wonder Woman, don't bring back a poor art style. Have the improved stories complement the top art that your staff can produce. By the way, I must agree with Mrs. Satherwaite, Wonder Woman number 160, let her call him, in the fact that it is impossible to recreate the Golden Age. The reason is that the Golden Age was a mood, not the product of the comics. The people were different, there was a war going on, television wasn't in use, and to be honest, it was just a different world. Just try for top stories as you are now presenting and mix it in with the best of today's comics. Top art. Why not let the readers have a say if they want the new art or the art of last year? Sincerely,
Marvin Wolfman.
Marvin Wolfman.
Right?
What? Yes. Well, right. Marvin Wolfman New York. Is a, would soon after this letter was written, become an instrumental writer and editor for comics, beginning at Marvel Comics. Well, he did write some issues of Teen Titans in the 60s. He then went to Marvel, where he wrote for many titles, notably creating the long-running Dracula, Tomb of Dracula title.
Well done, Marvin.
Then back to DC and with George Perez, co-created the new Teen Titans, which were a sales sensation for DC in the 80s.
Okay.
And also wrote The Crisis on Infinite Earths, which you should appreciate because he destroyed Earth 2.
Nice. Thank you, Marvin. Marv.
He's still around. I think he's been writing comics again lately.
Is there a bird flying around the window?
Yeah, it's probably eating those wasps from the nest hanging right above our window.
I hope so.
So, you know, I always like to look out for famous people who write letters in the letter columns.
You're very good about that. Of course, I don't know who these people are, but you do, don't you? And that's what's important.
Well, you certainly know the new Teen Titans.
Yo, of course. But I meant these people who wrote who don't, you know, who become later become authors.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything else to add?
Oh, no.
No, it's kind of a blue day, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd hope to be out on that lawn mower to get that lawn kind of hanging over our heads. Probably not going to be able to do it today at all, huh?
No, nor tomorrow. It's going to rain all day tomorrow, too.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
I'm not.
Oh.
Maybe we should get ourselves over to Paradise Island and see if we can nab a date.
Well, if we happen to get any break in the rain today, and the sun comes out, we should try to go out and cut that grass.
Okay, good luck.
It's quite quite long.
It's very long.
Yeah.
The dandelions have taken over.
Yeah, and then what happens if it gets really, really long and you cut it, then you've got all this shaggy buildup all over the top of the lawn.
And you're going to get a nasty note from the HOA president, I bet. Like,
yes, we would indeed. Well, let's see. Anything else from you?
No, just, you know. Hanging out today.
Just hanging out today. Yeah.
You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. You can find us on our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra, which we're recording tonight. Don't forget. And you can find us right back here next week.
Next week. Right?
Right.
Yes. What will we read next week? Do you know
yet? No.
Oh.
I think it may be a Strange Adventures or something like that.
Our sister podcast, by the way, we are meeting tonight to record.
We are meeting tonight to record.
Which means I need to go listen to the music again.
Which means I better edit the episode we recorded last month.
Oh my goodness, you better get busy, right? No. All right.
Bye!
Hey, Mr. Wind, just keep us sailing.
Keep us sailing along.
In the sky, there's no curtain.
Yes, we'll have fun. So everyone come on.
Hey, you on the ground.
You on the ground.
Take a look up and see what we found.
Nothing to tie us. Bluebirds come up to guide us.
When you're beside me, we can fly.